Welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. Hi Dave, how are you doing?
Hi Ricky, how are you? Love you.
We've been really nice to each other in this episode because apparently I was nasty to you in the last one.
Where are you? Who says that?
Apparently your pals, because nobody DM'd me to say that they were upset on your behalf, but everybody DM'd you to say they were upset on your behalf because I was a nasty man. Everyone DM'd me to say it was hilarious and they want more of it.
Because you said I've got a tiny todger.
Nanotechnology, I think is the term I use.
That's the one, tiny todgers.
If you don't know what we're talking about, then there's an episode that you'll have to go and listen to. After this one, you're going to go in reverse chronological order. Is that clockwise or anti-clockwise, Dave?
I'm pretty sure that's anti-clockwise.
But anyway, we're here to talk about watches, and it's probably a good idea to not annoy Mizzy more than we already just have done by doing a wrist check, and I will go first. I am wearing, on the wrist today, a limited edition piece from a British company, I believe, called Rotary. If you are from these fair isles, you'll have obviously seen these watches advertised on TV, you'll have seen them in many catalogues, including Argos, and they've been going for a very, very long time. I believe they're owned by an international holding firm or conglomerate somewhere else in the world nowadays, but they've been around for a very long time. Lots of cool watches over the years, and this one here, it looks similar to something that people may recognise when they check the show notes and play along at home.
Oh yes, and I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to leave that, because if you want to know, you have to check the show notes.
I would say that the watch that it is particularly familiar to doesn't have an AM PM night indicator over at the 9 o'clock position. So that is one difference. The other difference is the coloration on this one. It's got a lovely black color to it on the face, on the side, on the case. I believe it is a PVD process, and it's got a nice leather strap that actually is massive. So I've had to tuck the end in between there. Dave, you know all about tucking, don't you?
Well, I tuck, but you see, you've not got a manly enough wrist, that's what it is.
Oh, really?
Or is it just that your wrist's had plenty of action and it's kept nice and slim?
Well, if I pop it onto the other wrist, oh, it doesn't actually fit the other wrist. It's a bit of a Jeremy Beadle situation we've got going
on
here.
Have you? Big wrist, little wrist. Yeah. Big wrist, little wrist. That's big it. Wrist, little wrist.
So this one here is called the Rotary Regent Automatic. Limited colourways, online only. Automatic movement inside. Sapphire crystal, 100 metres water resistant, which is actually pretty good because it doesn't have a screw down crown. Case height is 11 mil. Case diameter is 41. It actually looks a lot smaller than that. And the dial itself is a sunray black. Comes on genuine black leather strap and it has a date mechanism. And this one is £309. Which is pretty decent for a Miota movement, clear case back and all that gubbins from a company that you can pick up in shops. Although, as I say, this one here, the limited edition release, is online only, but you can pick up the normal ones in stainless steel everywhere. So there we go, Dave. What are you wearing?
So before I get on to what I'm wearing, would it be fair to say that you've got one bigger wrist because you like, you know, taking firm things and giving them a good shake?
You mean aerosol cans?
I just meant a firm handshake. That's all I was meaning. What did you possibly think I could mean?
I thought you meant when I was a younger chap and I used to be out there tagging buildings with my name.
Oh, I mean, it could be that as well, of course. Could be that.
Can you tell us what the f*** you're wearing, Dave, please?
What am I wearing? I've been wearing it all day. It's the Citizen One, which is an extremely slim little number. This is a rarely seen in European shores model from Citizen, measuring a mere 2.98 millimetres in total thickness, which has purportedly, at 1 millimetre thick, the thinnest quartz light-powered movement in the world. And I'm going to believe that's true because the watch is ridiculously thin, so much so that it almost looks like the dial and the hands are painted on the surface.
A bit like your ears.
A bit like my ears, yeah. Yeah, a bit like your hair. So, you know, aside from that, it's a cool little piece. It's got some quite unusual materials, some super titanium, some cermet, I believe they call it, which I think is a titanium ceramic mixture that allows it to gain a little bit of rigidity and stiffness. And we know that you enjoy a bit of rigidity and stiffness.
Yeah, it's sorely lacking when you visit.
I mean, you know, I don't like to proffer why, but, you know, something to do with attractiveness, but we'll leave it there.
I cover the mirrors for when you come round, Dave.
You do, but it's my internal voice telling me that I'm an ugly little duckling.
Shame you weren't the ugly little duckling that walked across the stank and ended up in the sewers, but hey, carry on.
Well, do you not know about my Ninja Turtle kind of background, no?
I've seen your little turtle. You pull that back in its shell, please.
It likes poking its head out of the shell. Anyway, back to this. Check out the show notes. This is a cool little piece. As I say, you rarely see them actually outside of Japan. I have never seen another one in the wild, it has to be said. So it's a cool little piece. Comes on a very thin bracelet, but I have mine on a leather strap, which makes it ludicrously light because there is very little to this in material terms. But check the show notes and you can have a look and see what I am talking about.
I like that little thing. And also like your watch.
I was going to say, I am used to this phrase every other day.
many years ago, we did a video on that little critter, and I like Citizen. I am still championing the cause of getting Grand Citizen on the go, because they need a little bit more recognition, methinks. And I always liked their stuff from the first Baselworld. No, the second Baselworld that I went to, when they had a display of all their movements hanging from the ceiling, and they were all intricately and precisely measured. So no matter where you stood and you looked up, it was a three-dimensional array of spinning movements. Brilliant. I'll try and find a video and drop it in the show notes. It was mesmerizing.
I remember pictures of it as well, and I believe we can put in the show notes a bit of a thing about where we did talk about that watch, which was a long time ago. That must be pushing, 2.5-3 years ago at least.
Good video. Obviously, our usual types of banter was in there. So, Dave, what have you been up to this week then?
What have I been up to this week? Well, we did something together at the start of the week, didn't we?
Did we? We can't tell people about that. It's illegal in 14 states.
This is very true. Well, we're not in those states, so it's all good. And, you know, plausible deniability. We have witnesses.
From the states.
Yeah, exactly. We have got US witnesses who will deny anything illegal happened. So, we went through to Edinburgh and we met up with two people.
Do you think the listeners are going to reckon that Scotland literally has two cities, Edinburgh and Glasgow, and nothing else exists? Because that's what we talk about.
I mean, to be fair, Dundee is technically a city. Aberdeen is technically a city. Inverness is technically a city. Even maybe possibly Stirling is. Are they really cities? They're not the biggest places in the world, let's be honest. And, I mean, you know, Edinburgh's Edinburgh, isn't it? So are we really going to count Edinburgh?
You know what, listeners? If you stay in a city in Scotland that we don't talk about, and there's nothing we know happens there, you let us know. If you've got a good watch shop, if you've got a branch, if you've got an enthusiast emporium, you've got an event, you've got something happening, let us know and we will either talk about it or maybe come along and visit, because it just seems to be we go from one end of the M8 to the other end of the M8 and then back again. Surely there's more to this country than that.
And there absolutely is. And I jest a lot because Aberdeen is a great city, Dundee is a great city, and I really like Inverness. So yeah. Let us know what's going on there. And I've certainly heard about a couple of dealers in both Dundee and Aberdeen that by all accounts are extremely good. And we know of other dealers down in Ayrshire, for example. Okay, Ayr's not a city, but there is definitely great ADs and great watch shops out and about in the wilds of Scotland, as there are in many places. So let's hear about your places.
Good idea to do a shout out for Ian over at Wallace Allen in Ayr. I've actually not been down there in a while. So yeah, there's three places that we talk about occasionally. But anyway, I digress. Why were we in Edinburgh? It was nothing to do with Red Bar, castles, Chisholm Hunter or IWC this time. Or was it?
Well, it wasn't. It was to do with two of our American friends who you've never met in person. I have luckily met them a few years ago over in the States, and they were on vacation, or as we call it, holidays over here, and very kindly reached out to us and said, did we fancy meeting up for some dinner? They've also contributed in the past to this fair channel that you're listening to now. And it was a thoroughly pleasant evening with some very nice food. Do you agree?
I do. It was very nice food, but it was more the conversation I remember. The food was really good. I can't deny that. It was pretty cool when the guy came over and asked us to choose the knife that we wanted. Felt like a gang fight in Glasgow. Felt right at home.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing that we've ever experienced in Glasgow, to be honest, for very obvious reasons. But
Choose your weapon!
Aye, which chip do you want? I think it's fair to say that we were in slightly more refined company at that restaurant, but it was lovely and it was just great to see. And who are we talking about? We have mentioned them in a previous show. We were talking about Stephanie and Arthur, who are... Sorry, what's her things again? She...
On you go, Dave. This part's staying in the show. Let's see if you do it.
Tick, tick, vroom is Arthur, and She Watches the World is Stephanie.
Well done. Contestant number one has passed.
Would I win?
A reach around.
Oh, amazing. Perfect.
There you go. That's your weekend sorted, Dave. You don't have to do it yourself for a change. Winning.
Winning and waiting. Anyway, moving along. It was a lovely evening and we had a little fun and a little, wouldn't call it a rental. I'd call it a loan car that you had, which wasn't terrible either.
Yeah, I was testing out for a week the new Porsche Panamera e-hybrid 4, which has got a lot of stuff in it, including a 2.9 litre V6 twin turbo with electric help. And turns out that one's got launch control, Dave, doesn't it?
It turns out that when we take the wrong turning at a roundabout on the way home and then do a quick burly round on a nice straight stretch of very empty, quiet road, that, yeah, it appears that you can make a Panamera launch off the line like a World Rally Car at the start of a stage. And especially when I was least expecting it and holding my phone, just as well I did hold on to it, because it could have been a new windscreen moment as my metal-cased phone launched itself through your front screen.
That would have been if I'd hit the brakes, methinks.
Fair. It would probably have hit my head
rear
first.
Rear windscreen?
Possibly rear windscreen, or just taken my head out like a sniper headshot.
So what did you think of it then?
What did I think of it? It was pretty plush inside. It's a big wagon. I'm going to guess that it probably weighs the same as a small house. But it was quite impressive. Very nicely put together. Very nice. But to be fair, for six figures, it should be very nice, to be brutally honest. Was it quick? Yeah, it certainly wasn't slow. Was it as quick as you might feel it to be with the size of engine electric? I would say no.
I think off the mark, yes. It did shift. The electric power from a standstill was impressive. But when it was going, I think the heft with the batteries and the size of it, yeah. Plus this was the big, massive... What do they call that in America? It's not an estate. Is it a race? What's it called? Shooting brake? Is that it?
Shooting brake, fastback. Not quite sure what they call it. But yeah, they, I think these companies love to come up with a name so that they don't just call it an estate, because an estate just kind of brings up visions of an Audi T5, doesn't it? Really, let's be honest.
That was the car I was thinking of when I had this. I was thinking, what is the equivalent from back in the day that we all lusted after and also hated the sound of, because it was usually meaning the police were coming after you, because that's what the traffic cops had here in the UK, the T5 and the T5R.
They did, and they certainly weren't as slow, these things were. I think they were all limited to 155 back in the day, so that tells you a story. That was an old car with a lot of grunt in it. But yeah, you were right. The Panamera, it's fair to say, with the electric power, it was very nippy off the line. But you're right, when you were going... and say doing, 50 miles an hour, strictly legal, and you wanted to get to 70 miles an hour, it wasn't as punchy between 50 and 70 as you would expect it to be. Would you agree?
I would, but it's also not a 911. It's also not a Cayman. It's also not a track car, sports car. It's a luxury, prestigious GT touring.
We'll call it an estate. To be fair, it wasn't slow either. I mean, pretty much everything else on the road would get left in its wake. There's not many things would beat it.
Correct. And I had it in Glasgow City Centre today, and it was running on electric power. And see the amount of people that do not look where they are walking, and they don't hear an engine, and they just walk right in front of things. It is insane. That's going to cause a lot of bother when we go completely electric.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair as well, with the size and the weight of that thing, I'm pretty much hoping that when you were reversing, it did have the beep, beep, this truck is reversing.
I'm afraid it did not. I wasn't reversing over people. I was trying to get them with the front wheels, because it's better if I can see the look in their eyes as I go over them. But anyway, enough car talk. More about the chat round the table.
The chat round the table. We had a good... Do you know, it was just a real nice... leisurely chat about what we've been up to in our personal lives, which we'll not delve too deeply into, but a bit of chat about watches, what watches they've been acquiring, what watches we've been acquiring, what we've been up to, what the plans, it was just really nice. It felt like COVID never happened. It was a proper, just good little chat and nice meal out with friends. I really, really enjoyed it, actually. It's the first kind of, one of the first times I've been out post-lockdown, shall we say, and just thought, I didn't even think really very much about COVID or the past couple of years. So yeah, really enjoyed it.
Same. It was lovely to just sit down with people that I've never met before. Obviously, they've been on the podcast before, they've written articles, they've been involved in some of the video work that we've done in the past, and they're coming back. They promised to come on and do a Partners in Crime, because they are married. They promised to do that in the near future, and it'll be good to hear from them, because they're always very active in the groups that we're in, talking about new releases and giving their thoughts on it, and the background that they've both got as well. They're not silly people.
No, and we can't, for a few reasons, mention what they specifically do.
But you can go to their Instagram accounts.
Tick, tick, Vroom, and She Watches the World.
And there will be links in the show notes. So don't go there just yet. Hold off. But you did that. I did that. Earlier in the day, you were busy, and I got to meet the guy that runs the Alstair Watch Company. This obviously ties in with what we were talking about just a week ago there, when I saw Joss for the first... People didn't believe that. People thought I was actually taking the piss.
I forgot. Yeah. You haven't seen that. That's just... I mean, I'm going to say sad, but actually, I'm just going to say pathetic.
Not pathetic. As I said, guy's in a boat chasing a shark. The end. So, there was that. Met the guy that runs the company now. He explained all about it, why he decided to revive the company, getting the international rights to the trademark, the releases he's had out, the people he's been working with, and the new releases that will be out soon. And he's based in Glasgow here in Scotland. So all tied together really nicely. And I've not had a chance, I know he'll be listening, but I've not had a chance yet to go through the multiple watches that he gave me a loan of, but that is on the agenda for the coming week. And that was pretty much what we've been up to this week.
Yeah, not much else, just been a busy work week aside from that. But I agree with you, you did bring along the little case of watches that you'd picked up from Ulster, and we had a quick perusal through them before we met the guys for dinner that Monday night, and there's a couple of interesting looking pieces, so I look forward to getting a bit more hands-on time with them.
Now, we love it when people write in about stuff, and got a message in from a listener called Chuck Barnett, and he writes, "Gents, please sign me up to the list for one of the Scottish Watches ex Christopher Ward collaboration pieces. Much appreciated and keep up the great work. P.S. Dave is insane, but apparently not as insane as me. I know this because I own a titanium Ploprof with the titanium dial. Even more titanium. We need a meme with Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction. Say titanium again, mother."
Can we talk about the titanium Ploprof again? It's really nice. It's got a titanium bracelet, titanium clasp, titanium watch.
People say titanium to me, I think of David Guetta.
I think about him as well. But I mean, Chuck Barnett, solid name that.
Chuck Barnett, is that not somebody that throws wigs? Anyway, enough ramblings of that. Were there any titanium releases that we could talk about maybe from Breitling? Because they seem to just open the floodgates and drop a shit ton of new watches, new colourways, new metals. Have you seen all these things? I don't even know where to start with this.
I really don't know where to start. I think they've actually used every material except titanium, which is disappointing, it has to be said. My understanding is they've pretty much chosen every size and pretty much, but not all, every material. These are the new Breitling Super Oceans. And yep, there's 36mm versions, 42mm versions, 44mm versions. And let's not forget, this is Breitling. So of course they've got a 46mm version thrown in there as well. Because you know, big watch for big guys. Or big watch for big guys that aren't as big as they think they are. Anyway, moving along. This is an interesting one. A variety of watches in steel, some in bronze, and some in a mix, kind of bi steel and 18 karat red gold. I don't quite know what to make about this watch. Some of them I quite like, some of them I really don't like. And by like and don't like, I'm talking about the colour palettes here, because some of them are, you know, quite cool on the face of it, others less so for me. Choice of movement and caliberness does strike me as somewhat interesting. We'll start there, will we, before we get into the more controversial aesthetic aspects. But this is a watch that has got the what they call the Calibre 17, which at the end of the day is an ETA 2824-2.
Dave, that sounds like a really expensive, futuristic, modern space-age technology type movement. It must have at least 50, 72, 80 hours power reserve in that thing?
Yeah, 38.
Oh.
Yeah.
And did Breitling not have some kind of agreement in place with like Chanel and Tudor where they do things with movements?
What, you know, like maybe movements that you can find, as you said, and I don't know, watches like Tudor's and Norkane's. And in fact, actually, did they not also have other watches that have these movements from this
like Fortis
partnership? Yeah, I mean, the narrative that this watch has to have this movement in it in order to keep it affordable and accessible does strike me as somewhat disingenuous, because pretty much every other watch that uses these movements, they're not inexpensive watches, but I wouldn't classify them as being inaccessible either. We are talking broadly about watches, what, really in the £2,500 to £3,500 mark that typically have these movements. And I've not managed to actually find hard and fast pricing in these new models yet, but my belief is that they're in and around that area as well. So it seems a bit strange, that one. But you know, that decision's been made. I can't quite fathom that out. But let's park that there. Let's talk about the aesthetics and the colours. Let's start with the bad and move towards the good, and then we can maybe end on a bit of a high, because so far we've not exactly been the most positive about this.
Well, positive things I would say is, well done for doing something different and taking a chance, because it's too fair. Easy just to rehash the old shit.
Yeah, fair. I mean, from that side of things, yes, I don't disagree with you. 46mm, I don't quite get, but I guess they've got a commercial reason and they've got customers that want that size. Good on them for doing a variety of sizes and not, from everything I've seen or read so far, not gendering them. 36 through 46 gives a pretty wide range of sizes for people, whether you be male, female, or however you choose to identify. So good on them for that side of things. Some of the colours I think look quite cool, others a lot less so personally for me. I quite like the look of the orange with a white rehaut and the black bezel. That I quite like. Interestingly, they all have quite a small look to them. I'll be intrigued to see how small the 36 actually looks, because again, check the show notes and you'll see what we mean if you've not already seen this watch. The rehaut ring is not exactly delicate, I think it would be fair to say.
I think you're damn right. It looks like some kind of coliseum or arena. It looks like the Hydro in Glasgow.
Yeah, it's almost like a watch within a watch. It's almost like a dial buried in a dial. And I think in the bigger ones, it'll definitely make the 46 look smaller. I think.
I love how you ask me a question. I give you one sentence and then you start answering your own question, Dave. That's a real skill set you've got there. Anyway, shutting the fuck up for a second. What do I think of these? Like the idea, not keen on the execution. I do get what you mean about the bezel versus rehaut versus inner dial. And then you've got the vintage style of applied indexes that are more squared than rectangular. But the colourways are really, really nice. Apart from the turquoise one, which I think is just leaning a little bit into the Tiffany.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel that the Tiffany-esque dial, or as we affectionately call it, the turquoise special edition, I'm not feeling the vibe on that one. The orange is quite nice, but then again, it's given heavy vibes of Doxa and a few brands like that more so. I think, interestingly for me, one of the more neutral ones, the navy blue, is actually quite a nice looking watch. I quite like the look of that one personally. And the green dial's not terrible either. Not entirely convinced by this watch in general. That said, I'm more than sure people will like it. Going on the basis of how many sizes and colourways they've released, I'm going to hope they've done their research, because I don't think they would have released that many kind of model variants if they didn't feel there was a good market for this watch. My gut's going to be the 42 is going to be the best size. It's going to look small because of the kind of balance between the rehaut ring and the dial, but the 44 is probably going to look the best, but it's going to be physically quite a big watch. This will be quite interesting. I think when these hit the shops, I might actually take a bit of time and go and look at them, because I can't quite get my head around them. This is one that the pictures will not do any justice or any idea of size or scale of these watches. I think this is a definite get it in your hands and see what it's like.
You may not have to go to the shops, Dave.
Have we got one coming?
I emailed the guys today to ask if they could send us up something to have a look at, and they said they would try their best. So hopefully we can actually get a little bit of hands-on time, because the last time we had a Breitling over, it was for an Instagram live that me and Barbara did, and they delivered the watch and wanted it back within about 12 hours. So I had no time to play with it at all apart from the Instagram live. And when I've gone into the different Breitling boutiques that we've got, one in Glasgow, one in Edinburgh. Funny that, isn't it, Dave? Glasgow and Edinburgh again. But when I've been in there, they've been so nice and helpful, and I walk in and don't say anything to do with Scottish watches. I am just a punter walking in off the street who's got an interest in watches. Really cool folks that work there. And the watches are good. The Triumph one I spoke about just a few weeks back there, really did like it. Was thinking about possibly getting it, but I do have a new watch alert in a couple of weeks' time, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that just now because Dave told me to.
Shh, keep your mouth closed on that one. Keep it quiet. Keep your pants on.
Ones I like the best here, I'm liking the green one, the bronze and the green, because the green strap works really well. But some of these watches, it looks like you're at a casino looking at a roulette wheel. That's how big that rehaut is.
Yeah, it looks like either a roulette wheel, or also I was going to say it looks a bit like some of the gambling chips as well, some of them. I can't quite make my mind up. I'm pretty sure there'll be one or two. There'll be a certain size that I think kind of balances, and there'll be some colours that work. But going on the basis of how many colours I've seen and how many sizes they've notified has been available, there's going to be so many of these watches. I can't deny, I quite like what Breitling have been doing over the last, I don't know, couple of years.
The Kern era.
Yeah, they seem to have broadly taken a change of direction for the good, but this one, the whole package is not doing it for me. The movement kind of kills it. If this was a 2 grand to 2.5 grand watch, maybe, but my gut is I just feel they've missed the boat here, or they've missed an opportunity here with that movement. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what the exact pricing information is when it becomes available. And we've got an email in from Alex Gravel. He says, well, actually, Dave, you know how to read, so I'm told. Go for it.
Do. So Alex says, hey gents, heard you for the first time on the Fratello podcast episode, which went out last week as you're listening to this.
On their show.
On their channel, indeed. Heard you for the first time in the Fratello podcast episode that dropped, he says, yesterday when he emailed us. Really enjoyed your take on journalistic integrity. Refreshing to hear in the watch industry. You've definitely got a new listener. Looking forward to your second show. Cheers, Alex. So thank you for that, Alex. And it's always nice to pick up new listeners. So, you know.
Aye, that's three of them now. So
that's
good.
Three. Whoa, we're going to make this. We are going to make it big, boy. Big.
I'm not going to say the next thing we're going to chat about was an email, because it was more than an email. It was DMs, it was Instagram messages, it was Facebook messages, and some WhatsApps as well. Turns out Simon Whistler, who is the host of numerous videos on YouTube for a multitude of different channels, including Side Projects, Mega Projects, oh, so many things, he has got one of the best videos that covers the quartz crisis, and I listened intently start to finish to see if he was going to muck up anything, and there was like one or two tiny little things. Even his pronunciations are better than Dave's. And if you've not seen this video, because it has done the rounds, I think it's got over 200,000 views in the space of a few days, you need to check it out. Once this show is done, after you've listened to all 369 episodes of our show, you can go and watch this YouTube video, because it's damn good. It takes you through everything that happened through the quartz crisis, the before, the midpoint, and the afterwards. Talks about LCD technology, how quartz actually functions and how it works. It's just a great primer if you didn't already know. And if you did, it'll fill in some of the gaps as well.
Absolutely. And I think it opens up, you know, a few less known issues with regards to the whole, what is commonly known as the quartz crisis. The quartz watch, I guess, was really just a catalyst to begin a cascade that was probably long overdue in an industry that was broadly backwards and broadly had never thought that anyone would ever challenge them. And it just so happened that it was quartz, but it could have been anything. It could have been the tuning fork. It could have been something that has never been invented. But, you know, let's be honest, it's an interesting part, but also maybe a reason why we've got an industry the way it is today, which is that it's still vibrant and we are seeing lots of these independents coming back through again. So, you know, you can't keep a good horse down.
I think you touched on one of the points I remember from the video that I didn't believe was correct. And I think he stated something along the lines of the reason that the bull of Accutron with the tuning fork movement didn't succeed is because it made a humming noise and people were wondering what it was and it distracted them, which I think is absolute shite. But apart from that, really, really good video. And obviously, I've got a bull of Accutron, so I'm going to dispel those myths straight away. But moving on from a great video to a great brand that we do a lot of work with behind the scenes, and that is Limited Edition. Pietro, good friend of the show, he's been on many times, he's done video collaborations, he sold you your Joker watch way back when, and he has done a limited edition watch with another brand that is fantastic, because I've had the pleasure of checking out their watches in real life and under magnification. This is the Kodoki X Limited Edition UK collab.
Yeah, this is an interesting piece. This is a brand that, you know, I'm sure a lot of listeners probably won't either have heard of or certainly won't have had any in-hand experience of it, as it is a very small, you know, relatively low-key, I would say, independent brand. And this is from one of Germany's, I guess, most well-known sons of watchmaking, that being Stefan Kodoki. And it's an interesting piece. I'm going to be honest, personally, a huge fan of the aesthetic. I am absolutely not going to knock the watchmaking and the quality of the horology built into this. Very limited, 30 pieces, 10 of which will be available this year, 10 in 2023 and 10 in 2024. But definitely a masterpiece of traditional watchmaking and skills and craft sets. And, you know, very, very impressive. As I said, not my aesthetic, but that should be discounted because I don't exactly have very good taste. I was reading about it. I was reading about all of these interesting, serious watchmaking parts and skills. And no doubt all 30 of these are going to find a home very quickly. But Ricky, did you by any chance get to the section that discusses the various names of the collections that come from this masterful brand?
You mean the name of the collection for the skeletonized and hand engraved mechanical pieces, otherwise known as the Kunst work?
That would be the one. And I mean, You kept a straight face and kept it very professional, and you discussed that that was just absolutely how it should be, correct?
What does Kunst mean in German?
I think it's actually, do you know what?
It's K-U-N-T-S. Listeners, in case you're wondering. This reminds me of a video that I saw on Facebook, and it was from Family Guy.
Yes.
And it was talking about different language. I think it was a French language, and it was the word for seal.
What would that word be?
I don't know.
Can you help me with my French homework?
Yeah, sure, why not? What's the word for fish?
Poisson.
Good. Dog?
Chien.
Seal?
Fuck.
Chris, watch your language.
No, that's how you say seal in French. Fuck!
He's right, Lois, look. And remember, you can use that word as much as you want, even home at the dinner table in front of your parents, because it's French, and French is classy.
You ask, what does Kunstwerk mean in German? Well, what it actually means is work of art.
Oh, really?
It means work of art. And I mean, I can't possibly think why we might laugh and snigger at, you know, reading that word. What? Why would that be, Ricky?
I don't know. I don't know any bad words that begin with K.
No, I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, all I really thought was, I think they've spelt that word wrong.
Cool. Anyway, we're back, Dave. So tell us stuff.
What do you want to know?
How much? Is it available now? How many pieces? What movements have got in it? Is it more than 30 hours per reserve?
So, well, I think we've already mentioned how many. There's 30 in total. 10 available this year. 10 the year
you
after.
Think I was listening
the year
to
after?
You?
No, you weren't.
Dave,
you never
when
do.
I get you to go off on a tangent, I go and make a cup of coffee. Do we not know this already?
We do. But you must have very long arms like Mr. Tickle because you don't actually leave your seat, but I'm mighty impressed.
I refer you back to the reach around comments earlier.
Oh, I'll reach for a reasoning behind that. Anyway, moving along. So we did discuss 30 pieces again. 10 each year for the next 3 years. Price point, 10,700 of your finest British pounds, excluding taxes. So remember, you'll have 20% VAT on top of that if you decide to buy in the UK. But generally, the limited edition price things ex-tax, as they have quite a large international following. It's a really cool piece, and it's really nice to see, you know, Pietro, as always, reaching out and supporting the independents. As we all know, or anyone who knows him, he has an absolute love and passion for anything indie watchmaking. That's where his heart lies. And he supports so many of these brands, from ones that you will genuinely never have heard of, and they're tiny, small volume independents, right through to the more obvious ones that many of you will be aware of, whether they be brands like Moser and Urwerk and various others. So do check his website out, as he always has some pretty interesting things floating around on there. Please check the show notes for a link.
I have things to say, Dave, as always. First of all, Pietro, I feel sorry for you, buddy, because you have got a website and a company name called The Limited Edition, which is a bit like having a band called Music. Quite a tricky thing to Google if you don't know what you're looking for. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, we've already talked about the naming convention for the collection, so we'll not revisit that quite yet. That will come in the next episode, probably, when we call back to it. However, flipping the watch over, looking at the exhibition case back, looking at the movement, what does that look like?
Is it like something that you kind of draw with a Sharpie marker on your jotters at school?
Yeah, something like that. I wouldn't say it looks like a balance bridge. I would say it looks like a balance cock.
Oh, a cock.
A cock. It's quite a shiny one. But no, let's be serious for a second. This is a stunning piece. The Kodoki watches that I had to play with, well, probably about a year and a half ago, they were just as good. And I always talk about things under macro magnification, because to the human eye, these watches look fine, but when you look at them blown up on even a phone screen, let alone a computer screen, or watching YouTube videos on a 4K 65-inch telly, there's things you will see that you will never see in real life. I've got a mark on my Sapphire or my Batman that you cannot see in real life, but when I had it under the loop, I could definitely see it. So this year, it is just absolutely fantastic. The amount of craftsmanship that's gone into this, you could put a zero on the end of that price.
I agree, and you know, love or loathe the aesthetics of the watch, you know, you can, taking that aside, this is a masterclass in finishing, watchmaking, and, you know, artisanal craft and skill. We have joked a lot about certain things like the name and certain features, but honestly, please do check out the show notes, check out the photographs, because this watch is absolutely stunning from an artisanal and watchmaking and decorative basis. It's as good as probably anything else out there, would be my argument. And you're right, the price point is not entry level by any stretch of the imagination, but it's the kind of price point that if you really put your mind to it and decide, actually, I want something like that, it's really not out of the realms of accessibility. The only thing that might be out of accessibility is the fact that there's only 30 of these pieces. So If this is something that might interest you, you know, reaching out to Pietro at the limited edition sooner rather than later will probably be in order.
I'm looking at the pictures here and mesmerised by it. And it was something else that mesmerised me last weekend. And I'm sure, being a petrolhead, Dave, you know what we're talking about here. This was a Goodwood event, one we didn't go to, one that Adrian at Bark and Jack unfortunately didn't go to, but we're not going to go into details about that. Hope he's feeling better. This was what looked to be like a miniature Batmobile, and it used a fan to suck the chassis towards the ground for extra downforce. Did you see the video of this thing, and did you think that this vehicle was propelling along at twice the speed, as in somebody had clicked the 2x button on YouTube?
It's Murphy. Fuck my life. That's fucking insane. So, like we've done with a few others, let's start with a name, McMurty. I mean, you know, you'd hear McMurty as a car brand or name and think...
and think, that sounds like McMurtry.
That sounds... is it McMurtry? Is that what it is? All I can think when I hear something like that is Boaty McBoatface, which is a famous little story. It doesn't sound the most serious thing in the world. Then you kind of see a picture of it and it looks like, I don't know, a cross between something that TVR might have made back in the day, like an old Lotus Elise type thing. Looks pretty funky, but not maybe as futuristic as you would expect.
Do you think it looks like a kid on toy car?
Yeah, a bit like a Dodge Viper-esque thing going on there as well.
But the kiddies version you get in the shopping centres.
Quite compact and small. Then you watch it launch off the line and you go, oh, that wasn't slow. Then you hear it and it sounds like some demented Kenwood kitchen mixer that's taken a good dose of coke, heroin and ecstasy simultaneously. And then you watch it passing walls faster than you could possibly imagine. It's a little bit insane.
It reminds me of a rocket car or some crazy top fuel dragster or funny car over in the States that can do the 1,000 foot in 5 seconds. It is bonkers. I don't know how it gets traction. Well, I do know how it gets traction because it's obviously sucking onto the ground. I think it was 2 tons worth of downforce it creates by basically sucking the air from the ground as it goes along, which means it doesn't have to worry about sliding off the course. Plus it's tiny, plus it weighs nothing, and it's electric. Add all that together and this thing here got the hill record at the Festival of Speed 2022 in 39.08 seconds, killing every other car that is in existence that's tried it. If you don't know what the Goodwood Festival of Speed is, this is a big deal. This isn't some kind of dick around thing in the UK. This is serious shit.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'm going to say about that car is I'm going to hope you never have a power cut, because if you do have a power cut, you'll be visiting the astronauts in the International Space Station thinking, hey guys, I seem to have got here quicker than I possibly imagined. Nuts, I think is the phrase. Nuts. Talking about that. Did you get my little link there to the International Space Station and another watch? That'll be a no. He's looking at me blankly, listeners. He's looking at me blankly. For once, I've managed to master a segue and a link, and he's no idea what I'm talking about.
No, Dave, because usually what a segue entails is linking one thing to the other, not stopping after you've mentioned it, and then asking if I know what's coming next, and then dropping in the second part. So it's not a segue until you actually drop in the second part.
This is a really long kind of segue that we've forgotten. I've even forgotten what the segue is by this point. So what this is I'm going to use the word interesting.
Because you use that word a lot.
Have you read about this Mission to Earth watch?
No.
You haven't? It's got all of our favourite things in it. Space, NASA, blockchain.
Oh.
Yeah. And we're not even got... it doesn't involve Omega. This is amazing though, isn't it? You know?
Is there any NFTs in it?
Well...
You seen the price of Bitcoin lately?
Yeah, I bet you're glad you get out.
Yeah, that story will link into something I talk about in probably 2 weeks' time. Carry on.
Is it? That's a real long segue, that.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to say about this one. This watch in itself isn't anything, in my opinion, super special. Wee bit interesting. Titanium watch, some red highlights on it. But where it's got quite interesting is, and I'm going to have to actually look at my notes because this just gets way complicated. So brand is Awake. The watch is called Mission to Earth. It's linked to the blockchain. It has a unique marker that's built directly into the sapphire glass. And this identifier works using the, what I'm going to pronounce as Arini protocol, a blockchain technology firm that Awake has partnered with for this. The crystal's got an NFC tag that can be read by your phone's camera. It then gives you, as the owner, access to an app called the Awake Earth Observatory that can tap into the feed of the cameras on the International Space Station. So there's a link to the ISS. So it allows the Mission to Earth Watch owners to basically have a look at your home planet. The whole idea being that kind of the inspiration behind this watch is the awe with which astronauts had when they look back at Earth when they're in orbit. So I guess this is quite a different way to be using this technology, not your usual NFT nonsense that we've often talked about. But the other interesting thing is they have, as something we have talked about, potentially a sensible use of this technology, is it allows you to look at the authentication of the watch, who's owned it, when they've owned it, how they've owned it. So again, unlike others where possibly the paperwork or there's maybe a warranty card that's attached to the watch that's on the blockchain, this has it directly built into the watch itself, which I guess in theory means if it's ever stolen, then it was pretty easy to prove whose the watch is because the actual NFC chip is built into the crystal of the watch. So it seems that it would be pretty difficult to circumvent that. This is a 990 euro watch. So it also strikes me as you'd be going an awful long way out your road to try and get it back if unfortunately it ever was stolen. Just seems to be a bit of technology for the sake of technology in this one to me. What do you think?
I'm glad you dropped in the last sentence there because I was about to unleash the hounds of hell on you and everyone else. Yeah, buzzword city. I like the look of the watch. I think it's pretty funky. I think the marketing bullshit is just pish. And if anyone has got any inkling of what blockchain really is, how it came to be, how it functions, what it's actually used for, and the mess that everything is in right just now, the cost of gas, which is the transactional charge in monetary terms, plus ecological issues of doing the number crunching to do this kind of stuff, it's just gone off the reservation just now. In the news, you'll have seen the price of Bitcoin and NFTs and all the rest of it. Everything has crumbled. People like to say there is a Rolex bubble and it's burst and the prices are tumbling. No, they've corrected back to the way they were maybe 3 or 4 months ago. The price of Bitcoin just now, I think, is around about £15,000, which is the price it was maybe 2 years ago. This is just a mess. And they're throwing technological buzzwords in there in the hope that it's going to catch some headlines. The person that wrote this article, and I'm not going to name who it is, the one I read, they have no clue what they're talking about. They've just basically read the press release, regurgitated it, believed everything they've been told, and fired it out onto the internet. But it's a nice looking watch, Dave, for 900 euros.
Yeah, do you know what? For just shy of 1,000 euros, it's a decent looking watch. You know
this reminds me of, see, I'm doing it to you now.
I was about to launch back at you exactly what you did, but you know, you did it to yourself, so you know, like, you like a bit of self-gratification, don't you?
I do. I like giving you a taste of your own medicine, even if it is a little bit salty. But this reminds me of the band, the singer, the comedian, the magician that comes on to one of those America's Got Talent type shows and gives you the bleeding heart story. And at the end of it, their performance is good. They didn't need all the bullshit at the start.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And interestingly, the whole pitch about, oh, you know, looking back at your planet, all I'm thinking is what you're doing is you're looking back at your planet that's on fire because you've spent so much energy and resource actually coming up with the whole project in the first place. So yeah, not a fan.
Nope. Not at all. Well, listeners, that brings us to the end of our show. Lots of genuine watch content included. Bet you weren't expecting that. And a little bit of hilarity, a little bit of film news, a little bit of car stuff as well. You know, keeping it real, keeping it real. But if you like what you heard and you want to hear more of it, we do have a vast collection in the archives. You can go back on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. I think it's 300 episodes that they link up. If you want to go even further back, tough titties, you're going to have to go to the website. We're also on SoundCloud, Amazon Music, Google Play, and all good podcatchers, including Spotify, funnily enough. Recent heavy hitters include, obviously, the second edition we did with Rob Nudds from Fratello. The first version of that was out on their channel, second one was on ours. I would say ours probably had a little bit more bite in it. We were quite well behaved and reserved when we were on their channel because we didn't know exactly how the land lay. But it's a great one too, and we're looking forward to doing a lot more work with Rob and the guys at Fratello in future. Apart from that, Zodiac, Zenith, Zero West, the triple Z's, they've been out recently. We've had Norcane, we've had Maurice Lacroix, CEO, Stefan, tons and tons of content in there. And should we tell people what's coming up on Thursday?
We were lucky enough to be one of a small group of people who got to look at Gerbil 4. policy that's about to drop. We can't say any more than that because as you listen to this, it's not official yet. In fact, I think it will be official tomorrow, the day after this podcast you're listening to lands. And on Thursday, we will be giving you the full lowdown and an interview discussing the very watch that's released. And more than that, just also talking about the brand, what they do, where they've come from, where they're going, and what they think. So that will be an interesting one for this Thursday.
It is really good. This was an episode that Dave recorded in person when he was actually down there getting a hands-on experience with this piece. And I'd said to him, listen, you're down there, there's going to be a you and the team down there. It's going to work out better if you just record it yourself. And you pushed the button and said, no, let's do it remotely. You're up in Scotland, me down here in England, you'll enjoy it. And I thought, maybe not. So glad I did. Speaking to the team down there, the interview, the fun, the banter, you think of that watch brand and you don't really know where to put them. Are they like JLC with their gyro tourbillons? Are they like Richard Mille? Are they like Roger Dubuis? It is a mixture, but they're so down to earth and the watch itself is utterly fantastic. That is a picture that will not appear in the show notes this week, but there will be many pictures of it in Thursday's episode. So definitely one to check out. And if you're not already subscribed, then do so. We've obviously captured quite a few listeners from the Fratello crew. And if you like what you're listening to, we have got tons more coming down the line. So that is us. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Scottish Watches. If you've got any ideas, you want to get in touch, you want your email read out live on the show, drop us an email. Do not DM us. Please do not DM us. We've actually added the auto reply now on Facebook and Instagram to warn folks that we don't see them. We get hundreds and hundreds of DMs and notifications and spam every day, so it just gets lost in the cracks. Drop us an email, info@scottishwatches.co.uk. So thanks for listening, and we will catch you guys again soon.
Take care.